from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcast. I'm bundled up, everybody, and I'll bundle this episode with lulls and pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. The only podcast that comes bundled in creaky dulcet tones and pointless meanders. What am I talking about? I don't know. It's time for Sleep With Me podcast to put you to sleep. And here's a couple ways we keep this podcast free for everybody, or when your hand hits the fridge tomorrow, sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleeping Media Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease the loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. It's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, and I want to thank Tristan Biston, Jonathan B., and Aaron J., all who supported Quip. Starting off the new year with clean, squeaky clean mouths. Holy moly, is your breath good, all three of you. The Sleepy Supporter Zone is where we thank the listeners who supported the sponsors so we keep the podcast free for everybody. And that's why it's a little bit more higher pace. I'm excited because I love my goal is to have this podcast available for whoever needs it. And Aaron, Tristan, and Jonathan made that possible by supporting Quip. If you support a sponsor, tag them on Twitter or Instagram, tag me, and I can try to thank you here on the Sleepy Supporter Zone, which is now over. Oh, Mystery Bard, I hear a little bird told me that I should ask you about your new podcast and who helps out in this show.
Chris Posty Posterson sounds like an earful. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes. Carl W. The Legend. Also edits episodes. Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer. Runner, runner, runner. I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullaby, so
I'm making a podcast
about writing songs.
It's called As It Happens.
Song of the Day.
And you can find it.
Just search for it.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors.
You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Nine Fail Presents. So now on with the show.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. That's where you can find me in 2020. Show some people how to subscribe. Show people how to use their podcast app in their phone. Let them know about podcasts. Holy cow, are they going to be happy when they find out about all these free podcasts they could listen to, about all this great stuff. So show them how in 2020. People you know, people you run into, people you know, like, you know, anybody, I guess. That's what I meant. And let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations. So things you're thinking about, you know, on your mind, going through, you know, the old brain, the old noggin. I don't know if I referred to it as noggin before. I mean, I've done 800-something episodes. Hopefully I'll remember that. You know, we're just, when you're hearing this, I think we're out of the, we're denogged. Okay, so whatever's keeping you awake, the thoughts, the things you're thinking about, like I said, feelings, like emotions, things being, you know, things that are you're just feeling or sensing, physical sensations as well, cumulative, it could be cumulus clouds, it could be accumulation of things, it could be changes in time, temperature, other stuff, could be a mission, like an unsolvable mystery. I mean, I mean that because that's what the situation I'm in. I got trouble getting to sleep, staying asleep right now. And I say, what's up with that? I say, well, this is mysterious. But, you know, I got my routine. I got the things that you know, everything I have fallen asleep lately, knocking on wood, if I could, during recording of a sleep podcast. You know, then I say, what's up with that? I can't fall back asleep. So suddenly I wake up and I say, well, that's not great. So, but, oh, sorry, but enough about me. Whatever's keeping you awake, Could be any of that stuff. Could be people, you know, somebody saying, well, Scoots, why you got to bring that up? I said, don't worry, I'll get back to misusing the word nog soon. Yeah, but whatever it is keeping you up, I'm going to try to take your mind off of that. And what I'm going to do is I have this very exclusive safe place set aside. Where, here's the thing, it's exclusive but not excluding. Nothing's excluded, you know, except for the stuff, it's not even excluded. I don't actually exclude the things that are keeping you awake. I just try to take your mind off of stuff. Like I say, you like with the brain bots, or what do we, could we call them something with nogs? The nog bots is not half bad. It's a little bit, you'd say, Alec, could you give me rejected science fiction picks, pitches for 1,000 nog bots? What is a movie that'll never be made? Wow, that's correct. That doesn't seem like it actually. Okay, so I'm going to try to take your mind off stuff. I'm going to create a safe place. We'll talk about that more real soon. I'm also going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, oh, so superfluous tangents. I mean, holy mackerel, I've already supplied a few. I don't know if they're always syrupy, though. Syrupy. Superfluous tangents. If I had a, one of those machines with those drinks, what are those called? Slushies. I guess superfluous, we'd call it, because it'd be purple, you know, fake grape flavored. Superfluous. That'll be at Scoots Fest 2030, would be the soonest ever there'd be a Scoots Fest. Except for all the fests with scooters and stuff that are unrelated to this podcast. I'm here to take your mind off of stuff. What I'm going to do is I'm going to keep you company as you drift off. Now, if you're new, holy mackerel, you might be saying to yourself, or what in the tarnation is this podcast or is this person talking about? And that's understandable if you're new. You might even be saying, what in the Sam heck? Or what in the name of that musical I forgot the name of the musical because it changed. I thought it was Hecktown, I think it's called, Hadestown. Okay, so what is this podcast? Here's a couple of things. Structurally, what to expect is unexpected for podcast. It starts off with business. That really is how we're able to keep the podcast free for everybody to download whenever they want, is the business. So we do that mostly at the beginning of the show, and I really appreciate those of you that are engaged with that. So that can throw people off. Then the intro can also throw people off. It's a 12 to 20 minute ramble about things that are on my mind and where I try to explain what the podcast. Well, it's actually not, they're not on my mind when I start. I say, okay, here's what I'm going to do. Creaky dulcet meanders, you know, superfluous tangents. Explain what the podcast is to new listeners, structure, what to expect, bada bing, bada boom. Then stuff comes up in my mind and it makes me go off topic. And it's something that organically grew out of making the podcast, but it really works because, so now I lean into it, or I've been leaning into it for like 700-800 episodes. No. Yeah, maybe 700 episodes. Because I found that it gives you a little bit of time to get ready for bed or to wind down and relax and get comfortable. So then by the time I get to the story, or tonight we'll be talking about the program Mandalorian, you'll be drifting off into dreamland, or I'll be here to keep you company. Either way. So there's an intro, there's business, an intro, then there's a little business, then we'll talk about the Mandalorian. Episode 4, I believe, but if you've never seen the show or you watch it a lot like I do, don't worry. You know, I won't really cover too much exciting stuff. You know, we'll just talk about, you know, skiffs or floorboards, those kind of things. So you could drift off and I'll look, probably do some research and stuff. I say, huh, what is a floorboard? I better Google that. And then there's some thank yous at the end. So that's the structure of the show. A couple other things to note. This is a podcast you don't really need to listen to. You can listen, but I wouldn't listen so close that you're saying, okay, when are you going to get to the sleep stuff? Because if you're asking that question, the kind of the whole thing, it's like, I don't know. I guess I wish I had an extra analogy in there. I just never get there. It's all sleepy stuff. It's all, you know, I put the noggin. I mean, there's no doubt about that. When you say, how would you describe nog? And I'd say something that's viscous, but about the consistency of Elmer's glue, that you would drink, or that you'd find pooled somewhere. And I'd say probably also, I don't know if you can have a liquid that's an amalgamation, but I'd say it's various ingredients put together. Not as thick as a milkshake. That's nog, N-O-G, nog. Okay, well, you spelled it correctly, at least. So I don't know where I got caught in that nog. I don't even know what I was talking about. Sorry, new listeners. Oh, this is a podcast you don't really need to listen to or pay attention to. Almost like look at it in loose focus. Just like the background. Like I'm the, what do they call that? The bokeh. I'm not the Boca Vista. I'm the bokeh with an E. I think it's spelled, it has an E at the end or something. You know, the effect in pictures, mostly it used to be portraits done by professionals. Then a lot of people had digital SLRs. And, you know, with the filter and the camera and the focus, you know, the background would be a little bit blurry, makes you stand out. Now, a lot of smartphones have it kind of built in. I think that background's called bokeh. And I'm not the portrait. No, oh no. For the love of John Berger, I'm not looking or looked upon. I'm best to sit in the background out of focus. Like a vase or, sitting, one of those things, like a, whatever you call that, where you recline, or flowers, or a kitty cat, or, raptor. Or you say, what is that on that table? It's a mystery. I can't tell what it is. You're supposed to look at the queen, George, not at the table behind the queen. You see, but that's where all the hidden meaning is. And you say, well, it's called the portrait of the queen. And you say, okay, well, could you two take your debate somewhere? I think you both have valid points. So I'm going to double validate you both and also give you both a glass of nog that you could sip on the entire time I do the rest of the intro. So it's okay. Thank you both. Oh boy, I almost got caught up in an artistic debate there. So I'm the bokeh. I'm the bokeh of podcasts. You might say I'm the bokeh of podcasts the other way, because that used to be like a term for retirement, I think, and Seinfeld, Del Boca Vista, but you could call it people would say I'm going to bokeh, and I think that stood for Boca Raton, you could say I'm the equivalent of retirement for podcasts. That would be figurative. That's more of a feel, and yeah, I'm like the fuzzy parts, without a doubt. So a podcast you don't need to listen to. It only took me 8 minutes to explain that part. Also, no pressure to fall asleep. I'm going to be here for about an hour to keep you company as you drift off. So I'll be here at your side, and you'll just kind of, drift away. That's the whole idea of that. I'm here to be your boar friend, your boar bud, your boar bae, your boar sib, your boar cuz, your boar bestie, your boar bra, if you're into that. And, what else? But if you can't sleep, I'm going to be here till the very end. So I make the show for those of you that are asleep and those of you that can't sleep. I'm here to keep you company either way. I do truly believe you do deserve a good night's sleep, and that your world and the broader world will be a better place if you're rested. So I do. It's my honor. It's my pleasure. I've been there, like I said at the top of the show. You know, I also have a noggin full of nog. So there's eggnog. That's the most famous of nogs. Actually, you want to talk about I don't know if there would be a Disney movie or what's Illumination? Is that their competitor? But I mean, all of the other nogs have been short. They haven't got the attention they deserve. because I don't even know what else, I mean, other than the generalized term nog, right? I mean, if it's eggnog, that means there's probably other nogs. Like, I don't know why this had plum nog. I would never drink that. But it popped in my head when I said, that's how little attention other nogs have got. I said, what's another nog? Plum nog. And even though I was saying plum nog, there can't ever be, in the history of the world, there probably has been a plum nog, because I guess there's plum pudding, so it's not that big a stretch. Then I guess you'd say, well, fig nog then. Okay. How about a nog that's actually appetizing? I would say something like a horchata is not quite a nog, but that would be a nog I could get behind. And you say, yeah, you could have a horchata nog. I mean, probably that sounds delicious. I mean, usually you say, well, yeah, it would be rice or tapioca pudding. And then you say, well, that's a pudding. It's not a nog. So back to the old nogging board. I think I prefer nogging board. Don't come a noggin when the noggin's noggin, you know what I'm saying? Because it just means I'm trying to think of up new nogs and I can't be interrupted. I said, I almost had it. We say, what are you doing in there, Scoots? Designing groundbreaking new nogs? No, I was just trying to think of other nogs. All I got is plum and fig. And then horchata nog, which doesn't actually sound, it doesn't do horchata justice. Yeah, I mean, maybe, how do you feel about this one? French nog. And he said, oh boy, yeah, no, I'm starting to sweat too. You better get out of here. I got to think up other titles for nogs. Mint chocolate nog, that just is, talk about boring. Holy pedestrian nog. You see, Alec, can you give me pedestrian nogs for 4,000? That's vanilla nog, Alec. That's the only thing more boring is plain nog. Plain nog. I mean, there's a nog title. It's not a good one. You say, that's not what I would like to drink. You see, that's actually my grandpa Ralph. He's the one person I know that has a taste for plain nog. And we've always wondered, that's his one treat a year, a glass of plain nog. Oh, boy. Do I love that plain, not plain, flavorless nog. Also, I guess it would be known as the 80s, but when you think of the 80s in retrospect, you say, man, it had neon, it had all that music, it wasn't like plain nog. And I'd say, well, yeah, I guess the mainstream culture, you're right, it had fat shoelaces, parachute pants. I think that was even when were Zumba pants in the 90s? Zumba nog, that's a proprietary nog, I'm afraid. And you see, what happens when I drink Zumba nog? Do I run like a zebra? No, you just go, they serve it at NFL games now. I gotta get back to the end. I was supposed to end this intro. I went off topic right into nog land. So I got a head full of nog. I mean, I think that was my point. But I'm putting it to good use because I'm here to help you fall asleep. Now, if you're new, give the podcast a few tries. Now, I don't get anything out of it if you give it a few tries. I just hope it helps you. Main thing is if you give it a few tries, that's what millions of listeners have said. Hey, give it a few tries, see how it goes. For me, it didn't work for episode 2 or 3 or 4. But if you've given it a few tries and it doesn't work, sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou has other podcasts and stuff you could check out. But the main thing is I'm glad you're here. I really appreciate you coming by. I work very hard and I yearn and I strive to help you fall asleep. And for you regular listeners, here's the ways we're able to keep this podcast free for everybody.
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, you know, for life updates. Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? And while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. You know, when you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they found out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. 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 Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody. It's time for me to talk about Chapter 4 of The Mandalorian. This is a man that's going to be boring. And I'm finally in a position where I haven't seen the next episode. I guess it came out this morning, it looks like. I knew they came out on Fridays. I didn't realize they came out Friday mornings, but I haven't seen it or heard anything about it, so that's good. So now I'm waiting for the fourth episode to download on this iPad here. I can see the teaser, just one sentence about the episode. Really doesn't give out too much info. And this episode features another ongoing character, which really plays against our expectations in some sense. Because of like the teaser trailers and the art that was released before the series started, you kind of get, at least this is my opinion, I mean, but Mandalorian does seem like a tale of a lone, you know, person traveling the universe to help people. I mean, also in this case, like the season arc seems to be helping one person in particular. But, you know, we did it, like, I mean, I guess I projected the idea, Mandalorian's got a backup team, like a backing band, with the droid and then the character, Kara, you say Kara, I say Kara, Cara Dune, who's featured in this episode, and maybe Ron Perlman-esque engineer, but I don't know. So I guess that's not, I mean, that's a way they've subverted expectations so far. This episode is also very truly very episodically modular and procedural, like a Sleep With Me episode should be. So that was great. And now I'm hitting play. It's probably going to play next last time on there. I'm trying to think if I have any other commentary about this, you know, while we warm up. Showing recaps from the last few episodes. Silver armor, you know, the shiny armor. I didn't think about that. That shiny from Moana. That song. We're seeing the floating pram. That was the biggest mistake of the season. Not keeping that floating pram. What did Scooch talk about the most last episode? You know, one of the greatest losses in all Star Wars. Not taking the floating pram out of the garbage, even if it wasn't properly working. I mean, here's the thing. I guess they could say, well, actually, one of the stormtroopers, you know, GP 44445, But actually, they're not stormtroopers anymore. So they probably, it's like, you know, Zeke, just wear storm, you know, former stormtrooper or person who acquired the stormtrooper armor, you know, in a mud pie making dance. I did take all of the electronics out. I didn't keep the top half of the pram because I have one at home. I just took the electronics for it. You know, I'm going to make one of those mini, you know, you heard of a mini bike, right? Scoots, pocket bike. Remember those were big like 7 years ago. We're going to make one of those. Okay, great. So it wouldn't be the episode if I didn't say Werner. We have all the openings, which I talked through. Then we see like this great shot again, where if you don't know anything, if you stay spoiler free, which I guess if you listen to this, hopefully you're probably asleep anyway. But if you're not, you know, you won't be missing much because you get to see it through my eyes. You see, well, if you're not going to be spoiler free, see it through Scoots' eyes. Because I said, movie. I thought this was. I said, is that a fancy fish tank? Because we see some like shrimp, brine shrimp, like, but they're blue, swimming around in some stuff. It did look like we were inside of a fish tank. The lights coming from above. Oh, this is a recap. Sorry, I was just looking at my notes for the first time. Recap: Werner, Yoda, armor, grief. What crib? Hide and seek, John Wick, hide and seek, all of them, Lucasfilm, Star Wars, underwater, fish tank, ? Lots of light, blue brine type, sea monkeys, something shrimp blue, kid plays with a frog, takes a village, it's like a village, there's like a carrying droid. Let's see, everyone's working. Then we get the old thing from everything's picturesque. Holy cow, these people are happy. They're working together. They're working hard, wiping their faces of sweat. Kids are playing wicker soccer, chase a frog, whatever that game was that that character played, the super water fun time or whatever. But then we get the old Jurassic Park water moment with the boom, boom, booming, and everyone splits as they say, oh boy, here comes the walker. And they said something like, at first I couldn't understand what they were saying. It was I heard stuff like reenactment, and I heard our friend Summer made a movie about this. But I could have heard them say, like, something LARPers. At first, I thought they said Womp Rat, because that's what I thought they say every time. But they were called, like, it was two words. So it took me a long time to parse this out. LARPer, reenact, like, and as Lort LARPers, which is just, I mean, again, this is just my interpretation, but these were Lord of the Rings, like a live action role player, reenactor kind of people. And I'll tell you what, they weren't in the Fellowship. They were in the puppy ship. I don't know if they were on Team Sour. I think they were like original Sauron, whatever, you know, indirectly working for Sauron. At least we get, or maybe they could work for Sauron. So anyway, the Lord of the Rings are LARPers. So Lort, Lord of the Rings, LARP, live action role players. But they don't, they play like in a way where they don't ask the other people at the village if they wanted to play. They say, we need extras for our LARPing. And they just show up. Believe me, don't worry. The Mandalorian will help us parse and sort this out. Oh, that was the other thing I forgot, is the great news is that it was talking about, you know, the Mystery Bard wrote did a TikTok and a song, a day song, Baby Yoda Lullaby. And I'm so busy with the podcast, I don't know how big virally it went, but, you know, it's great news for the Mystery Bard. By the time you hear this, it'll be months later, but I'll try to link to it. You know, let's get it going. So where were we? Okay, Lord of the Rings. Well, they also think they can. They want a shrimp. This is really a stretch, but LARP, Lord of the Rings LARPers got to eat. That's one of the things the leader says, you know. So they're also taking the shrimp for like a buffet, which is ridiculous, you know. So they're particularly focusing on one mother and her daughter. You know, they're particularly impacted by the thing. It's chapter 4, Sanctuary, Mandalorian. Then we see the ship in space. Then we see Oso. This is Oso. If you want to talk about Oso cute, and this has gotten a lot of meme treatment, but, you know, like 80s or radio stations in the car with dad. But Oso's pressing buttons. And again, I guess I got to do another commentary here. Not to go off to, well, it's my job is going tangents, right? And I could tell you that if I would have known about Baby Oso before the season started, there would have been a part of me that like was like, oh boy, they're going to be in trouble there. Like, how you can't pull, that's going to be tough to pull off. So I really have to salute everybody involved in The Mandalorian for successfully pulling this off. First of all, for not hyping it. So even this is one situation where whatever the marketing and creative discussions were, they ended up for the best, and it's had a great, much greater impact. But also just how hard it is, you know, just like to make something that parents and kids can watch and enjoy together, that has something that it actually is cute, like Oso, but that isn't smarmy, I guess. You know what I'm saying? And the main, like the closest parallel I can draw, because you say I haven't seen Mandalorian, Scoots, I need more, and I said, don't worry, I got you covered, is Olaf, the snowman that likes warm hugs from the first Frozen. And I mean, you think about it, like, again, I heard about Olaf before the movie came out, and I think it was on a podcast and someone was critical of the idea. And I can't honestly remember at the time if I was like, huh, I'm interested, or I was agreeing and saying, whoa, boy, sounds like a big mistake. And even the Olaf art might have gotten leaked out ahead of time, maybe on purpose in a marketing way. Anyway, first of all, because I was just thinking about this with like a Frozen 2, and the holiday season is when I'm recording this, is like the idea of a reinvention of a living snow person. Whoa, boy, that is, I mean, I realize this is like 2014 or whatever, but the idea of taking something that's somewhat iconic and plussing it and reinventing it and kind of making its own, man, and then perfect casting, Josh Gad, and then, you know, great songwriting, great writing. I don't know, but that's the closest thing I could say. I guess from someone that makes stuff, I see, how did they pull Olaf off? I mean, you know, even before they got Josh Gad, you know, I mean, again, you see, okay, it was all these stages. It all worked out great. And I'd say the same for Oso. That just, so I guess that's just my meandering way of saying, well done. Okay. So pressing buttons, he says, stop. And then Oso rebels, and he puts Oso in his lap. Then he pulls up a map. They're going to plant something sorghum. They said, isn't that like something to do with like wheat or something? I said, or bran? Backwater. You see the affinity, though. Even though the Mandalorian can be very Scooter-esque or Drew-like, cold, distant, he does say, he does get cutesy. He says, we're going to lay low. What do you think that, you little womp rat? No one will find us. Then the ship, Mandalorian ship, goes over our village. It gets lots of eyes from the villagers, which again, as far as like the slow reveals or semi-slow in a 40-minute episode, I said, well, what's going to happen next? I mean, clearly there's like this A-team, you know, procedural element, but you say, huh, how's this going to come together? Then we get more Oso-ness because he says the Mandalorian, I mean, this is bad. Talk about bad ideas, though. He says, why don't you stay behind on the ship, Oso? And everyone that was watching in the world said, what are you thinking, Mandalorian? obviously, you're not, because he's going to put that ball in his mouth or something, or, you know, press with so many, you don't have, like, your ship is not childproof. But at least this child is so smart, it can advocate for itself. Because, I mean, by the way, kids can't, but this is baby happens to be 50. So that's why. So the baby says, even though I'm a still, you know, this is my developmental stages are not the same as a human or most mammals, I'm going to come with you because I can't be trusted on my own. And I say, man, I wish I could like advocate for my needs like that. And the Mandalorian says, well, I'm glad you spoke to your needs. I don't agree. So he sighs. That's when he says, don't come with me. Oh, no. Then he sighs and says, come on. Then they go walking. They go to like a kebab and noodles bar, which, hello, Disney. You know, I know you got some other shops at your Disney theme parks or whatever, but kebab and noodles bar would be good. You could put this outdoors somewhere even. And yeah, I guess you could still charge whatever, $8,000 for like a bowl of noodles. So it's a kebab. Yeah, but there's wooden dirt floors. We kind of get an idea of not primitive environment, but a basic environment. I don't mean Eleanor basic. I mean, you know, wooden dirt floors. Oso meets a cat. Then we see a grouchy soldier in the background. And we get a bone broth shout out. You know, you heard it here first years ago when I talked about sipping broth being becoming a thing. And I even got turned down by a Sippin' Broth sponsor, or, you know, I never heard back from them when they said, you know, but that's true. They said, you know, I was the one that invented Sippin' Broth, you know, except for the people, you know, 4,000 years ago that did it. Mando doesn't eat. This also was like, it's a small way to keep people on the edge of their seat, these different scenes. Or at least to me, I said, huh, does Mando eat at all? Like, that are not much business. What does that mean? Not log runner. But he says, who's that lady back there, like looking glum in like armor? And she says, there's not much business here. And she says, I don't know, she's not a log runner. And then she says, oh, this is all like, so this is like, I think this is like a Renaissance fair planet, but not our Renaissance fair, some other version of Renaissance fair, but also real, like, I don't know how to explain. She says, would you like a flag and a spatchka? He says, keep an eye on the kid. Then he checks the thermal prints, he can see thermal footprints. He gets tricked by this other soldier, and she jumps down. They have an arm wrestling match, and they're disagreeing mostly about the rules of the arm wrestling match. And then we see Baby Oso sipping bone broth, and we get a great joke. You want some soup? Then she's, you know, we get in halfway through her backstory, so we don't hear too much, you know, because this isn't a sleep podcast. The show isn't. So she says, yada, 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 drop ships, peacekeepers, early retirement. She's talking about, what's that, not Hoth, but that other one, Endor. Let's see. She said, I knew you were a guild, thought you had a fob on me. I said, that was one of my favorite Star Wars parody songs that were never written about the Mandalorian by, Take a Fob on Me. You know, just like Take a Chance on Me. You've got a fob on me. Or I guess you could sing it as the Jungle Book. You've got a, oh no, that's not the Jungle Book. It's Toy Story. You've got a fob on me. Fits so many places, I think, just because of the way the syllables fall. No, I'm trying now. Yeah, don't worry. I'm going to move on. I was here first. And again, I like how clear-cut the Mandalorian could be. He goes, oh, well, this planet's taken, kid. You're going to have to hit the road. Then he's tuning up his ship, and two villagers come on a skiff. If you want to talk about him, like one of the things this TV show glorifies, it's lanterns. You say, When was the last show with this many lanterns that wasn't based around, you know, that like weren't oil land, you know, that wasn't like, you say Hamilton, I say, well, that's a musical one. You say two, like, okay, Mary Poppins two. And you say, well, were those lamps or lanterns? I'm talking about lanterns, not lamps. You see, this thing has some, you know, if you're into lanterns, or I don't know, maybe like there's somebody like it, they'll come out like one of those people, they say, well, we can't, our kids today, we can't watch this stuff. It's full of lanterns. And then next thing you know, there's going to be, you know, moths coming by. You know, when I was a kid, we sat in the dark and you say, no, actually didn't, because you probably had lanterns then too. Okay, he says, excuse me, Raiders, you know, he says, yeah, they call them Raiders. He said, no, Empire. Lord LARPers. And he said, what is that? Some sort of dance? Lord LARPer. And they go, no, Lord LARPers are, they're bugging us. We got money to pay you. And he says, well, not enough to deal with a Lord LARPer. And they go, no, a group. It's a group, not just one person. And the Mandalorian's like, no way. You're not going to get me. You don't have enough money in the world to pay me to deal with any Lord LARPers. And he says, how many lulls would a Lord LARPer LARP if a Lord LARPer could LARP LARPs? And they say, well, we like Gro Krill and Bruce Spachka, man. He goes, not enough. They said, we'll give you more after the next harvest. And they say, one of the actors in this is somebody I really love, Eugene Cordero. But I have a feeling he'll be a big star. I don't know. I just always enjoy seeing him on the screen. It just has a really nice, especially when he plays this character, he's a little bit flummoxed. But he has like this good nature to him. I don't know. He's also very funny. I mean, not in this one, he adds a tiny bit of humor, but not too much. So I don't know. He's also good at adding like subtle humor. So, okay, where was I? Okay, Eugene Cordero. Okay, so they say, we live in the middle of nowhere. He says, you live in the middle of nowhere? Where's that? And they go, you know, in the middle of nowhere, down the road a ways. And the Mandalorian goes, uh-huh. He goes, do you have a lot of lanterns? And they say, well, we got one right here. And he says, okay, you still got that money, though? Let's see. He goes, where? And they go, or what do you do? They go, on a farm. We're farmers. Weren't you listening? Yeah. And he goes, you have lodging. Again, I love how the language they use for the Mandalorian. And at first, I don't know if like it was Eugene or someone else that said, you just took us a whole day to get here. Now we got to go all the way home. And then, yeah, he loved it. Weren't you listening? We live on a farm. We're farmers. Okay, so he says, good, come to hell. Okay, something, he goes, okay, let's load up the skiff. One more thing, give me those credits. And then we see him drop the credits at Cara Dune's thing. He says, I'm going to be, one more thing, give me those credits. I'm watching now. She's just kicking it against a tree by the fire. And he goes, you ready for round two? And she goes, Then they're on the skiff. She goes, then they kind of say, okay, what are we doing? Lore larders or something. She goes, what? And he goes, like, they're going to give you a place to stay. And we'll be a deterrent, a pretty good deal. Nothing lives out here. You can handle it. I can handle it. And she goes, Lorp larders? And he goes, no, Lorp larders, one of the guys says. Then again, you get this super cuteness. Is there a word like, you know, people used to say H-A-W-T or whatever, hot. Oh, yeah, this is like K-E-W-T, cute. Let me see what the time frame stamp is. 1327. Mando kicks back, and then Oso kicks back. Super cute. Holy moly. Mando. Oso looks at the stars for a second, though. Then they wake up. They're there. Kids come running. They're happy to see everybody. Happy to see us, even one of them says. And Oso. They love Oso. It's a farm. Then we're in a room where the blinds are getting put up by like a, what is kind of like teased out as like a romantic interest for the Mandalorian. She goes, hello, please come in. Sorry, you got to sleep in the barn. He goes, this one is nice. He also is very robotic again. He says, thank you. That's very kind. Her daughter tries to sneak in and makes Mando a little jumpy. She says, we don't get a lot of visitors. Says, thank you, and nods. Also at 1520, let me see. It's coming up in a minute. She says, yeah, I stacked some blankets. That's very kind, old Mando says. Now he's jumpy. Winta's the name of the daughter. Mando says, oh, this man's here to help us. Get rid of those lorp larpers. She's protect us from the lorp larders taking our shrimp and just making us larp with them when we don't even want to. Let's give our guests some room. Mando's standing there. There's some shot I wanted to note. 1520. Oh, there it is. Oh boy, no wonder I said noted. It's actually 1528. It's a shot, overhead shot of the farm. It really is cool. Good shot from the sky. Then Mando's getting ready sequence. Not really a sequence. He's just getting dressed. Knock, knock. Come in. We see that Oso has their own crib. Winta says, can I feed him? He says, sure. Can I play with him? Sure, but a little bit more grouchy. And this is how I parent. She goes to go outside. He goes, I don't think that's a good idea. And then the woman says, it'll be fine. And he says, I don't think it was good. She goes, it'll be fine. She goes, I brought you some food. He goes, that's very thoughtful of you. This is what I'm like with all interactions. That's very thoughtful of you. And she goes, I'll leave you here. Oh, then he says, yeah, that's very thoughtful. But she stays for a second, kind of looking after him. She goes, can I ask you something? You ever take that helmet off? She goes, when's the last time you took it off? He goes, yesterday. She goes, in front of somebody else. He goes, when I was their kid's age. So we get some more backstory. He goes, this is the way. She goes, isn't it lonely? She goes, I could tell you got it. And she said, if you only knew what kind of face was under that helmet, holy mackerel. It's flawless, I'd say. I mean, no offense to Antonio, because he's not here, but you'd say, who gives Antonio Banderas a run for their money? And I'd say, well, one day if you ever see a helmless Mandalorian, you'll find out. But she's strikingly beautiful too. So to say, holy cow. And you see, that's your, if they did stay together, they'd be like, but that's your child, that green thing that looks like a lorp larder. And they'd say, oh, so used to be cute. And now it's, and they say, Scoots, okay, yeah, you're right. Get back on track here. So, yeah, and then she goes, well, let us know if you need anything. And then Mando kind of eats in the window, which did seem like not a great idea. But I guess he wants to keep, maybe there's a two-way window or something. You see the kids in the Yoda, or kids in Oso. Then they go, Kara and Mando go on a scouting trip, more thermal prints, 15 to 20 lorp larders. But then they say there's something big. And they start looking around, and then they notice it's a print of a tower. And she goes, is that Sauron's tower or Sauron's tower? And Mando goes, I always got those two mixed up. And he goes, was that played by Christopher Guest? And Cara Dune says, no, not Christopher Guest. Not Christopher Walken either. And she goes, the famous actor that Scoots can't think of his name, but neither Guest nor Walken. He goes, Christopher Plummer? She goes, no, not Christopher Plummer either. And he goes, what do you mean it's a tower? He goes, what do you mean? She goes, it's some sort of movable tower with the eye of, presumably the eye of Sauron. And he goes, well, that's not good. And she goes, yeah. Then we get more serious comedy, more than I signed up for. There's music. And then the Mandalorian has a town meeting. He goes, bad news, you can't live here anymore. And she goes, nice bedside manner. He goes, oh, can you do better? And she goes, yeah, yeah. What, everybody's like, you're supposed to help us. What are you doing? He goes, just go somewhere else. Big planet. And they go, we've been seeding these pods for generations. And they go, well, there's at least 20 Lorplarders. And then the, some sort of mobile tower of Sauron or Sauron. And they go, Sauron, it's the eye of Sauron. And they go, which one? Because we're all confused here. And they go, you got Lorplarders and Sauron. And they said Sauron, I guess the eye of Sauron. We're not leaving. And they go, well, I don't know what to do. And then the Mandalorian says, unless we show them how. And then you say, okay, I learned this from watching the A-Team. It's time for a planning and training sequence. And so we get one with Cara Dune. He says, Cara Dune here will teach you how to do something. I don't know. So they start making mud pits and trees, like barricades. The mother, the romantic interest of O'Mara, she's good at squirt guns. Which they're going to use the old ice water and squirt guns. There's nothing the Lorplarder hates more than than cold squirt guns. And then they have a pit for the eye of Sauron to put it out. It's a bit bad news bears to start. You know, that's part of a training sequence, though. And then they get better. They also have a moment alone, which is on screen right now, where it's like, what's going to happen here? And he goes, we got to go out in the woods now. Also, Cara Dune rolls by when the Mandalorian and O'Mara are having the moment. Then we got some wood sneaking. Another thing about Lorplarders is they drink a lot. In this case, they're drinking glow cube drinks with black light into the cup, which I've never seen before. And I think they must be drinking spatchka, maybe. Then we see they go into a tent, Karen, Mando. We see vats of maybe spatchka. And then it's on. And they do apple bobbing in spatchka is the way the Lorplarders compete with one another. So, oh boy, does it get crazy because they've never, you know, you can't like with a drink, it's one thing in water or something, but this has alcohol in it. So things get crazy. But the Mando and Cara end up on, you know, they end up winning. But there's a lot of apples being thrown. Then somebody hops in this Eye of Sauron walking tower. They put Eye of Sauron Bot 2000, and the chase is on. We see Oso and the kids hiding out in the mist. We see the ponds. Then the LARPers show up. They say, ready. Then, of course, this giant tower of Sauron shows up with a glowing eye and everything. It's very intimidating, and it moves. It stops right at the beginning of the pit, but doesn't fall in the pit. Shines a spotlight, out of its eye, you know, just like in the movie. But, I mean, that was a movie. This is real for the characters, at least. And the Lord of the Rings LARPers, they show up, like, throwing apples and saying, spatchka. Then I think he says to Cara Dune, new plan, full circle. Maybe she says something, but it basically is like, he gives her his trusty pole thing and lightning pole. And cooler out your mind, come on. But like, like what she does is part of his like faith, I believe. And she, so I don't know. I thought that was a cool little moment that it's like, huh, there's not going to be any callbacks to this, or is there? I mean, because these two definitely have a good working relationship. But so he trusts her with his like most prized possession other than Oso. And Kara jumps in the water. He says, you got this. He's very, they say now or never. Then she says, take the bait, you big eye of Saruman, you hunk of junk. Then it gets stuck in the mud, and they splash the water, put the eye of Sauron out. And they say, we don't even need one ring to rule you all. And eventually they get victory over these Lorblarders, who will go running home to their mamas, probably, and say, you know, geez, we're throwing apples at these other kids, and they turn the tables on us with ice-cold squirt gun water. There's cheers. Let's see, was that the plan? Something like that. Then we see Oso and the frog, like, playing with the frog. The kids are like, that's gross. So I think Oso has Oso's first experience with humor, with going in, and like the first stage performance, where Oso says, oh, the kids liked it when I put a frog in my mouth and then spat it back out. Or did they not like it? It's tough to tell, but Oso liked it, which is almost, so Oso may become a stand-up comedian or a sleep podcaster. It makes kids laugh. 30, 33. This was a nice scene because, so a couple weeks have gone by, according to the dialogue, and Kara and Mando are just kicking it, like literally. This is at 30, 33. They are kicking it at the doors of one of their cabins. Like Kara's sitting down, Mando's standing up, leaning against the wall, which, you know, he does so well. And then O'Mara shows up. Let's follow the dialogue here. Right now I'm at where baby Oso is the frog. The kids are laughing. Oh, even Oso smiled. And the frog was happy. O'Mara brings Kara a drink. She goes, you want something? And Mandalorian goes, maybe later. She smiles and is like, oh, your son's so happy. He goes, yeah, he is. She says, fits right in. And Mandalorian watches her walk off. Kara Dune does the eyebrow thing. And she goes, well, what happens if you take your helmet off? You get in trouble? He goes, no, you just can never put it back on again. And she kind of looks at him like, are you saying figuratively or metaphorically? And she goes, that's it. And she goes, you could just take off the helmet and settle down here with your kid, drink spatchka, you know, make some, you know, maybe, but like she goes, I have a feeling you're as handsome as she, you know, you're both handsome people when it's a compliment. And she goes, what are you thinking, dude? I don't know. She just has this great performative amusement, like a best friend. I mean, she's like, and he goes, we really raised some heck here a couple of weeks ago with those Lorblarders. They might have gotten on one of their newsletters or something. And he goes, we better move on. We. And she goes, well, I wouldn't want to tell your kid the bad news. And they're playing catch the brine shrimp. And he goes, I'm leaving him here. And she goes, she gives him a side eye. He goes, being with me is no life for a kid. And he goes, he's safe here, better chance at a life. And she goes, well, he's not going to be happy about it because he loves, you're his papa. And he goes, we'll get over it. We all do. And she goes, that sounds like something, she goes, that doesn't sound like something a modern generation would say. It sounds something old school. Yeah, big Kara smile. If I've been calling her something else, Kara Dune, maybe. Let's see. She's thoughtful at the very end. Then we see this elephant type, you know, member of the guild. And then the Mandalorian rolls up on O'Mara. He says, actually, she has on rubber, whatever those things are called, waders. He says, can I have a moment to speak with you? She goes, sure. And let's see what he says. He says, it's very nice here. She goes, yeah, I've lived here my whole life. And he goes, I think it's clear he's happy here. She says, what about you? And he goes, me? No, I'll never be. She goes, are you happy here? And he doesn't even say anything. She goes, well, it'd be nice if you stayed. The community likes you. She goes, you could pack your armor away. Maybe kiss someone. You and your boy could have a good life. He could be a kid for a while. I mean, that one cuts deep, you know. She goes, wouldn't that be nice? Really well done. He goes, it would. So you could, I mean, in the fifth watch, this is why I do these shows. It really stood up. Then she holds his helmet like she's going to take it off. Pack us away, good life. Then he says, I don't belong here. And she goes, he does, though. And she goes, I understand. And she says, I could look after him like he's one of my own. Then we hear the beeping. We see the member of the guild, like their tile fob and everything. But then we see Kira Dune. She deals with this member of the guild, says, go back, fobless, tracking. And they say, who's he tracking? You or the kid or me? He goes, the kid. And then Oso's looking on as they start packing up to go away. So this is kind of, cause they say, yeah, they must have, the kid's child. There's nothing we can do. So then we have Oso making an Oso cute face. Mandalorian's packing up a skiff, packing it twice, autopilot skiff, I guess. Kara says, you don't want an escort? He goes, nah. He goes, we're going to just head right to my ship, the Razor Crest. Must be the name of his ship. They do a hand five until our paths cross again. The kids are pretty upset to see Oso go. Winta is going to miss Oso. Mandalorian says goodbye to Omera. She goes, thanks. He just nods his head. And she kind of smiles at him. Oso gets a big hug. He says some cute stuff to the kid. I mean, who knows what he's saying. Maybe he's saying stuff in some sort of force language, too. I mean, he is 50 years old, so if they were playing any games, he would have a distinct advantage. Even catch the brine shrimp. Mando sets everything up in the skiff. Actually, we have like a pretty long, like 5 or 10 second sequence of him, everybody just watching and looking on. A lot of nodding. Wonder if Pedro Pascal like has to do neck exercises. He must. Then we get a close-up of Oso's face. It's thoughtful, but sad. And inquisitive. And cute. Oh, so cute. And it ends. We get the wonderful surprise. This episode was directed by Bryce Dallas Howard. I mean, this one I didn't. I knew she directed an episode this season. And I don't know, I was having trouble counting the paintings, so I don't know if there's 9 or 10 paintings at the end, but definitely worth watching. And then let's look up a couple things quick from this episode here. Let's see. Still came up Lionel Kitty City. So Bryce Dallas Howard, I'll put that in the show notes. Obviously a great director, but also a great performer, and, you know, because we're big fans of Steven and Jurassic World, Jurassic Park, awesome on Jurassic World. So wouldn't it be nice, it gets said, and that's like, I talked about this on the podcast before, for me, one of my pinnacle moments of consuming film was the first time I saw the movie Roger and Me, and maybe the second time or third time I saw it too, and then Ben Hamper, I think, is saying about talking about the song, Wouldn't It Be Nice? But Wouldn't Be Nice is a song written by Brian Wilson, Tony Asher, and Mike Love for the Beach Boys. Came out on Pet Sounds in 1966. This is from Wikipedia. It was put out as a single 2 months before the album's release with God Only Knows as the B-side. Whoa, boy, what a record. And in some countries, Wouldn't It Be Nice was a B-side. The B-side wins again and again, as Chuck D used to sing. Let's see. Wilson did the orchestral wall of sound arrangement using a variety of instruments not normally heard in popular music, including accordions and 12-string guitar, and a lot of other classical stuff. Love was not originally listed as a co-writer, but received his credit after having to advocate for Mike's Love Self. It was the happy sounding music, according to this Wikipedia, was influential in future pop, power pop. Tony Asher credits the idea of the song to Brian Wilson. The innocence of the situation seemed immensely appealing to him. Lyrics were written almost entirely by Asher over the course of one or two days. Mike loved it, and the ending couplet, it celebrated adolescence fun and teenage love, but subverts this convention with the saying. But I mean, for me, it is removed from those meanings of the song from Ben Hamper. Let me just see if I can find that in the references. There's cover versions. It's got to be mentioned in here somewhere. Maybe it's not. Wouldn't it be nice if we think of it I don't know. That's just for me what I always think of when I think of this song. Unless it's another song. But I think it's wouldn't it be nice if we think of Hope and Pray and Might Come True? We could be happy. Is that another song? No, Wouldn't It Be Nice? Another thing that came up was the Osho's relationship with the frog. It reminded me of the film The Princess and the Frog, which was 2009. Wow, it came out 2009, a Disney film. It was the 49th Disney animated feature film, loosely based on the novel The Frog Princess by Edie Baker, which is based on the grim fairy tale The Frog Prince. It was written by John Musker and Ron Clements. Let's see. I like to always see. Okay, so it came out in 2009 for the holiday season. 97 minutes. It cost $105 million. Brought in about $271 million. It takes place in New Orleans. Stars Tiana. I don't want to talk about the plot because probably on Disney Plus too. But yeah, I always love stuff that's based on it. Let's see. Disney had once announced, this is early development, that Home on the Range would be their last traditionally animated film. Then in 2006, they acquired Pixar. And many animators had been laid off from traditional animation units, but they got rehired back onto the project. They also brought back Clements and Musker, who had worked on The Great Mouse Detective, The Little Mermaid, Aladdin, Hercules, and Treasure Planet. They started everything. It's definitely a beloved Disney film. Cara Dune made me think of Dune, the novel, which this was interesting. So I guess I thought I had talked about, maybe I've talked about Dune, the movie, but I don't think I ever looked up this Wikipedia article about Dune, a 1965 science fiction novel, originally published as two separate serials. I had no idea about that. It was a first installment of the Dune saga, which I think I've read a few of these books, but my brain has not retained very much. A very popular books, a popular movie. I think there's a, was it coming out or was there already a miniseries? Let's look that up. A David Lynch movie was it who made the first film? Let's see, there's adaptations, there's early stalled attempts, then there was the 1984 film by David Lynch, 2000 miniseries by John Harrison that came out on the Sci-Fi Channel, and then there's a 2020 film coming out. So that'll be interesting. So it's about to come out at some point, not that far from now. I mean, who knows when you're hearing this. So that'll be something I'll check out too. I think that's it. There's other stuff that'll be in the research if you want to look it up. Thank you so much for listening, and good night. I want to thank everybody for the show on Patreon recently. Brooke, Amelia, and Phil, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Maggie, Kathy, and Alexis, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Tag Girl, AB, and Thomas, thanks, 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 and good night. Lauren, Jamie, and Jeremiah, thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. Tim, Stacy, and Co., thanks, 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 and good night. Jennifer, Simmons, and Asher, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Jessica, Pon, and Sarah, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Evelyn, Priya, and Sammy, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Stephanie, Jacob, and Ariel, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Greg, Francis, and Scott, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Donna, Heather, and Megan, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Maria, Robert, and Rachel, thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. Angela, Emma, and Charity, thanks, 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 and good night. Becky, Colin, and Amanda, thanks, 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 and good night. Lillian, Debbie, and TK, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. And Lindsay, Julian, and Emma, thanks, thanks, and good night. Thank you, everybody, for the support. Sleep With Me is able to exist as a free podcast because the listeners that take action to support the show on Patreon, support the sponsors, or buy the merch, come to our live shows. That handful of listeners brings the podcast to everybody for free, which deserves an extra round of thanks. So thank you. And your show grows because of those who spread the word about the show. So I really, really appreciate free way to support the show. Thank you so much, everybody that does that. And speaking of spreading the word, here's a podcast from Night Vale Presents I want to tell you about. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month. And what you can expect to see on... in the public feed too. Now I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from. On Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is I think this is the 10 to I think this is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and... that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't, like, automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. That's popping the all-intro, all-night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. There was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all in. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed, let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabalix, we're getting ready, big announcement, if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do three seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabalix, so that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And, that was episode one of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex, episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support at supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me. And most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's I put it at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way. But these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right, and building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepingmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.